There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Dojo podcast. This is your host Igor, and as always with me is my co-host Nikša. God damn it, say hi, Nikša.
Wait, what do you want me to say in the end?
Words, stuff.
Hi.
Okay, that might work.
Okay.
So, Nikša, how has your past 2 weeks been? It's been 2 weeks, right?
Something along that.
Yeah, because last week was Infogamer week, and you had your Fageborn things to do.
It was actually like 2 weeks ago. Last week was just my recovery phase.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, how was the Fageborn?
So on Infogamer, one of the largest cons of that type.
It's a gaming convention.
It's a gaming convention, one of the largest in this part of Europe.
And definitely the biggest in Croatia.
And the only one, but okay, that's besides the point.
That's why it's biggest.
That's why we're the best podcast in Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so yeah, we had a premiere of our tournament mode. Balance of Power. Anyone interested in actually watching the tournament can see our Twitch. Our Twitch, and there's probably a video on demand there. A link to it will probably be in the show notes. And if you're at all interested in seeing Trump play it, and by Trump I mean the other Trump, the more likeable Trump.
The one who streams games?
The one that streams Hearthstone, yeah.
He
was also on the tournament. And of course, I did the casting part of the tournament. And I gotta say, that's some really exhausting. It was kind of exhausting, like, just doing that for, what was it, like 6-7 hours straight?
I'm hoping you did a better job than the people who were casting the Soul Calibur tournament.
Oh, I don't remember the Soul Calibur tournament because I was casting Hearthstone at that time.
Oh, I was listening to them and they sounded insufferable. I was like, oh god damn it.
Yeah, the end part of my casting is the best part. You'll see what I mean if you decide to actually watch it.
But yeah, I actually might.
The tournament was a blast. Everything went really smoothly. The game went really smoothly. And the players were all really good. So yeah.
Who won the tournament in the end?
I'm not gonna spoil that for people.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
We're going with that.
Yeah.
How was the reception of Fageborn on the tournament?
Well, on the tournament, it was everyone was really happy with it. Even Trump said some good words about our game. And the reception during the rest of the convention was also really good. I mean, our PCs were like full almost all of the time.
Yep, we had to wait. Tess and I, the whole time we wanted to actually play, it took us a while to sit down and actually have a game or two.
Yeah, and yeah, so you can say your thoughts on it without, you know, being biased because you don't have any stock in the company.
I mean, I'm told it's genuinely a good game.
Nice.
If you like card games, it's a genuinely good game.
And if you like Commander,
basically have a commander.
Because you, the commander is the key part of the whole game.
It goes public when January 20th?
Actually, January 30th is our early access launch.
Okay, there. I know it was something about that.
So yeah, let's hope that Legend of Runeterra doesn't run us over.
He said worryingly.
Anyways, so yeah, I did somehow recover from the whole ordeal. I mean, it's really just being on a con for like 10 hours straight, and when you're not a really sociable person, having to deal with a lot of people is not really fun.
Wait, you're trying to tell me that a Magic player is unsociable? Oh my god.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Anyways, yeah, it was a blast. It was fun. It was fine and dandy. And now we can go back to our regular program after these commercials.
Since we took a look at the past, let's take a little bit look to the future. Tomorrow, you and I and Tess and Andra are going to Bologna, to the GP. To Magic Fest, I apologize.
Magic Fest.
But yeah, if any of you actually are going to be there, just hit us a message. Twitter or something.
Yeah, you can hit up Bigger, because I don't have any of those.
You should have all those things.
I know. It would probably be the responsible adult thing of me to do, but the problem is that that requires a responsible adult.
No, responsible thing would be you finally making a stupid Reddit account so you can post on our Magic
podcast. I can post memes.
No, that, and so you can post our podcast, because I can't. I sure as can't.
Okay.
Because I'm the worst thing that happened to the world since Genghis Khan.
Anyways, yeah, we're going to Bologna to the Magic Fest, and we're
basically Magic Fest / just exploring the city and taking a weekend off out of Croatia.
And I never actually played Magic anywhere else but, you know, Croatia. Mm-hmm. So seeing something new, feeling the whole Magic Fest vibe, I guess.
It's gonna be nice tasting salt outside of Croatia, or.
Yeah, especially if I'm gonna go grind some modern events there with, you know, Eldrazi Tron, which is totally not a deck that totally not a deck that causes massive amounts of salt with the, you know, Karn and Lattice.
Do people still play modern? Do they?
Well, yeah, it's their most popular format right now.
I'm making a joke because Pioneer.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Pioneer. Lol.
I mean, it's actually taking up steam.
It is. It's still I'd say that the format is still in a complete mess, because nobody doesn't know what to play. Mono black is apparently really strong.
Mm-hmm. Either play Mono Black, or play Oko, or play Teferi, or play a Copter. Basically, if you're playing Mono Black, you're playing a Copter. So, there you go.
Yeah, and Oko isn't really that much of a powerhouse, because, you know, you can't turn your Arkham's Astrolabe into Elks, because Arkham's Astrolabe isn't legal in Pioneer.
You can still turn your food into...
Really not that much of a... Really not that big of a deal.
Eh.
I mean, just play creatures and Oko can't do anything.
I mean, he definitely can, because it's not a minus ability. Anywho, do we have actual topics, or are we just gonna make fun of Oko?
Well, we did have topics, but then they got turned into 3-3 Elks. Heyo! Oh.
Speaking of making fun of Oko, November 18th had a banned and restricted announcement, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
So, how did they make fun of Oko?
Well, they made fun of Oko by banning him.
Womp womp. So, standard. Oko, Thief of Crowns banned. Once Upon a Time banned. Veil of Summer banned. Apparently fuck the color green. Just, no.
Because
enough is enough.
It's because green was generally the color of the format, and like,
you mean because it had all the answers? It had card filtering, it had a super good planeswalker that could nullify your opponent's things, and it had a really good protection spell,
and it had card draw.
Yep.
And it had big beefy dudes to attack.
It had elks to attack, and your opponent's dudes also became elks, so you know, it all nullified.
I mean, all their elks kind of, you know, don't do anything when you have a beast
of the questing variety.
Of the questing variety that just smashes them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like green did everything, and you just added blue so you can play, you know, multicolor cards, because you don't really need blue, because green does blue but better.
So it's okay to print shit like this, but when I ask for a good Armageddon, it's suddenly bad.
When you ask for any way to draw cards in white, you're very bad. You're a bad person.
I ask for an Armageddon, not for way to draw a card. Even though I imagine a card that's Armageddon, draw a card.
I mean, just a card that can draw a card in white. I mean, we did have that once. Board the Weatherlight. You know, it could dig deep. How many cards? 5 cards deep? 3 cards deep?
You also had Armistice. Do you remember what Armistice does?
No.
It's an enchantment.
Don't remind
that basically...
me.
Okay, there we go. You remember. You just don't want to. The memories are painful. In that stupid made-up format that is Brawl, Oko was also banned.
Yay.
Andra was not happy about the Oko bans, by the way. And then he remembered he should be happy because he can buy Oko's cheaper now.
Yeah, about that.
Ah.
He could have bought Oko's cheaper 2 days after the ban, but after that, not
so
much anymore.
I think he actually picked up one or two after the bannings.
Yeah, and the prices went back to normal after that.
Because Pioneer?
Because every other... Because relevant formats.
Pioneer and what? Modern?
Well, Pioneer, Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander.
Let's be serious and say that Vintage isn't actually driving
the price. I know, but
yeah.
Still. When a card is played in Vintage, it turns heads.
Yep. Speaking of those things, Legacy, Vernon 6 got banned.
Hooray.
For the same reason that Deathrite Shaman got banned. Turns out it does everything. And is basically played in the similar shells.
And it also enabled all color decks.
That's what I said, it was played in the same shells.
Okay.
For color anything you want, because mana is not a thing we care about.
Mana issues, what? Lol.
And in Vintage, Narset, part of the Veil has got restricted because, yes. A couple of months before, Mystic Forge and Karn got restricted. But Narset, for some reason, got unrestricted. And finally, they did it. Because, holy crap, Narset is good.
Because of the whole not allowing people to draw cards part?
A boat. She digs you cards, and in the mirror, she totally breaks it. In a format which is reliant on cantrips and things like that.
Not being able to cantrip really hurts.
Yeah, if you want to do main phase brainstorm, it's gonna end up not good for you.
Yeah, nice brainstorm, bro.
For one mana, you have a luxury of returning two cards from your hand, top of the library. I mean, if they're gonna... I don't know. But yeah, she got restricted.
There we go.
Which is fine, honestly.
And that's...
Anything surprising in the bannings?
Not really. No, not really.
Who could have seen Oko being banned?
It was a bit surprising that Oko was banned this early. I thought they were gonna like wait until the other to the next ban and restricted update, because you know, Theros is coming out, so they have to drive sale of those packs after that. And no Pioneer bans was kind of odd. I thought they were going to adjust the format every Monday, but it looks like they think that things are okay for now, and people are still trying to break it, I guess.
I mean, we're gamers, that's what we do.
We have fun when we optimize our fun.
I mean, you say that, but remember the way you play things like D&D and stuff like that?
I mean, other people like to optimize their fun. I don't.
Yeah, but even when you pick fun things, you don't pick the shittiest things, unless you can make it into something fun, which is, again, you optimizing your fun.
Yeah, I mean, let's take another example. So, I just started playing Tekken during my lunch breaks.
Oh, yeah.
And can you guess which is my first character I picked up to be my main?
Is it fair for me to answer because I know the answer? Because we talked about it on Facebook.
Oh, we did. Oh, okay. Yep. So, me, the genius that I am, decided to pick Yoshimitsu as my intro character.
For people who don't know Tekken, explain why is that a weird decision.
Because, so Yoshimitsu is a character that doesn't have, his basic kit is subpar, he does below average damage, he's widely considered, well, not tournament viable, unless you're iMusician.
Niksha, Panda wasn't tournament viable, and yet...
Yeah, it's because when Panda comes, nobody knows how to play against Panda, and then you just steamroll people.
If you know
how to play. It happens in Magic as well. And Yoshimitsu is widely... So he's basically a character that you need to be really familiar with all the mechanics of Tekken, so that you can effectively troll people. Because the whole point of Yoshimitsu is doing weird, unorthodox things until people just, you know, what am I supposed to do?
However?
Well, there is no however. Really, I think I couldn't have picked a worse character to start playing Tekken with. But I'm gonna stick with my guns. I'm gonna go ahead and keep playing Yoshimitsu, because apparently the best way to play Yoshimitsu is to imagine that you're there to have a good time. Not to win, but to have a good time. So Yoshimitsus are supposed to party.
Then I know what you would be playing if you were playing League of Legends. Are you familiar with champions, League of Legends?
Some of them.
Do you know Singed?
I've heard of Singed.
So, he's a character that's basically tanky. He does subpar damage, but he does damage over time. The main philosophy we've been playing Singed. You just need to do all the things that normal champions wouldn't do. If it seems like a stupid thing to do with a normal champion, just do it with him. Oh, it's five of them under their turret. I'll just dive into them. And then run away. And then keep on doing it.
Run away...
Because you're tanky, and you do damage over time, but in a smoke trail that's behind you. So you just keep on running.
Oh, so his speciality is running away from stuff.
And then running into people, then running away, then running into people.
So he's good at getting out of bad situations he put himself into.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of sounds like Yoshimitsu as well.
I think Yoshimitsu is less tanky than this guy.
Oh, he's definitely not tanky.
Of course, he was even tankier when he had a different passive a couple of years ago, but that's a speech for another time. But yeah, it's wonky, it's crazy.
Back to some magic.
I was gonna say, we had an actual topic we're discussing, right?
We were, but...
We finished with the Ben Instructed list. Okay.
Okay.
Next is holiday promo we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So,
It's a cute thing.
So, can you tell us what it does?
So, for 4 mana, it's a decorated knight. It's a 3/3 human knight. It has an adventure site. Present arms. Surprisingly, you don't just show your hands. That would be funny, because presenting arms. But sorcery adventure. Exchange your library with another deck you own from outside the game. Shuffle your library. Whenever decorated knight attacks, draw a card from your original deck if it's outside of the game.
Hmm.
Basically, you play this guy, and you're like, okay, you assholes brought your CDH deck, and I want to play something casual. Present arms. Fuck you.
Of course, it's a silver bordered card, so of you can't course. Actually do that.
Unless they bring, you know, that 1 month of silver border again.
Yeah, I don't think they will until we get another silver set.
Which is gonna be soon-ish, from what I've seen from Amaro.
Yeah, I don't really know how they made that product. I really don't care for it that much.
The new silver border thing, or...?
Yeah, the whole way they're presenting it. So they're basically making intro packs. Not intro packs, but the welcome decks, and... Mm-hmm. You know, you have to pay for them. And I was like, I'll pass.
But yeah, this is what Wizards sent to their... give out to basically people who connected with them. Either marketing people or whatever. Employees, partners, contractors. So it's
family members and so.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Nothing that's going to impact any of our games unless you allow proxies. But, you know. Oh, speaking of proxies, I need to take out my Alpha Duelands out of Alesha, damn it.
Using proxies feels weird.
We'll mention that a bit later after we cover the news.
So, speaking of silver-bordered cards...
Yeah, what do we have?
Wizards dropped a Secret Lair on us. And Secret Lair is their line of products... I think that this first wave is more experimental to see how people will react. So what it is, basically, it's a, let's say, a small contained set of cards. So it's a, it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it has 7 versions. Each version has a, they have their name, and they have a couple of cards in the pack associated to that name, which covers some theme. And this is their way of exploring magic and magic art in different ways.
This is their way of exploring singles market.
We'll get to that when we start discussing. So one of their first secret layers that they showed to the public was OMG Kitties.
Kitties.
And so in the pack, you'll get 5 cards. Well, 7 if you count 2 tokens. And they're all reprints. All of these packs will be reprints. And it contains Arachbo. It's Arachbo, Roar of the World, Miri Weatherlight Duelist, Regal Caracal, Quazali Slingers, and Leonin Warleader. With... alternate art. Very cutesy alternate art.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me, Quazali Slingers has the best art.
Arabo looks actually scary, not cute.
I mean, he's still adorable.
Oh, definitely, but you know. If you met that in a dark alley.
I would still be like, oh. I would be like, look at that cute cat.
And then a 7/7 cat slams in the face.
Yeah.
The Miri looks like it's supposed to be on a SCG token / playmat. It's that type of the art.
Yeah, all of the arts are like that.
Arabo isn't, and Quazali Slingers aren't.
Yeah, Quazali Slingers actually remind me of Kelvin and Hobbes.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's not the same author.
Womp womp. Because I think that the guy died?
I'm not up to my artist lore.
The thing that we not didn't lore. Mention...
Oh my god, artist...
The thing we didn't mention is all these bundles are going to be available for 24 hours.
Yeah, but if you order them, you will get them. There aren't any supplies, So it's unlimited supplies. So whoever orders it will get it.
One thing we need to mention. Get this only if you really want to pimp out your deck. This isn't a way for you to get the cards you want cheaper. Because you're just paying for a bit blinged out version.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that they're foiled. I don't think they're foiled.
I think you get... didn't they say about this that you can get a foiled and non-foiled versions? Or was that some other product?
I don't know, because the pack that Pleasant Kenobi opened, they wasn't really foiled at all.
I think I heard some story that you can get either or.
I think that some of the packs are foil, some aren't.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
So we started with cats, right?
Yeah.
Let's go then from the bottom, since you started from the bottom. And we usually start from the bottom because we're the shittier podcast. Next up is basically for you Kaleidoscope Killers. 3/5 color generals, foil art, foil alt art. Oh wait, it says, no, it all says that it's foiled in the description of the product. Foil alt art Ur Dragon, a Sliver Overlord, and for you Reaper King.
I mean, sure.
You're the only person I know that plays Reaper King, so you know.
Yeah. But still, I wouldn't pay for this.
I mean, it's $40 for 3 cards, yeah.
And they're not even that good cards. Man, it's a Sliver Overlord, not a Sliver Queen. Come on.
Wizard Sliver, yeah, restricted list pulls. Next set is for our good friend Philip. Because he's a Gobble Man. What's part of the product?
The Gobble Man. Well,
yes.
I guess it's explosion sounds. And it contains Goblin King, Goblin Pile Driver, Goblin Bushwhacker, Goblin Sharpshooter, and Goblin Lackey. And they're all of the arts are interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And they form like...
panorama.
Yeah, they form a panorama, but all of them together form like the A-Team. Or something along that way. Like the Expendables.
Bum, bum, bum. By the way, this is 5 most actually playable cards for $30, which is better than 3 of those. Oh yeah, this product is not foiled. Cats are foiled. The 3 generals are foiled. This is not foiled.
Yeah, this isn't foiled because these cards are actually playable.
Because you won't see this in a Legacy tournament.
Yeah. But these arts are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very wacky and actually adorable.
Of course, if you're playing something like Legacy, you won't be playing part of these cards.
You won't be playing Goblin King.
Goblin King, no. But Lackey and Pile Driver, yes. And maybe Bushwhacker, depending on what you're playing.
So we also have Seeing Visions. Seeing Visions has 4 cards in it, and all 4 of them are Serum Visions. So...
But 4 different arts!
And they're 4 different arts. So, yeah, there's a... If you ever wanted the places of Serum Visions, well, there you go.
And these are foiled.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1 art is what happens on your mind with acid.
I think that all of the arts are something along the line.
Yeah, but picture number 1 is too much acid. 3 and 4 is just enough, and number 2 is you actually taking the acid.
Mm-hmm.
So you know.
Next
up we have Restless in Peace. None of them are foiled. Alternate art Bloodghast, alternate Alf Life from the Loam, and alternate art Gogalir Tag for $30. And they'll make a panorama. And they actually look quite wonderful.
They do. And how much is that pack?
Didn't I say $30?
Oh,
if I didn't, it's $30.
You might have said.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's $30 for 3 cards? That would probably get around $30 by themselves.
Palatgast and Life from the Loam, I think definitely, and Golgari Tug is somewhere there.
And it's an uncommon, so.
Yeah.
There's also Eldraine Wonderland, which is 5 basic lands, but they're snow covered, and they're Eldraine themed.
And they're $30.
5 basic lands.
Foiled. I think I could get for $30 enough basics for a couple of decks.
Foil basics.
That's what I said, foiled.
Foiled full art.
Full art, I don't need. I don't prefer that.
I know, but still, you can get foiled full art for a bunch of foiled full art basics.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not as expensive as they used to be.
Yep.
Not even close. And the last pack is, it has one card in it.
Basically.
It's Bitter Blossom Dreams, and it has Bitter Blossom.
And
4 tokens, but it has Bitter Blossom.
And it makes a panorama.
Yeah. And it's actually, this is the only one that's extended art.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs $30, and that's actually cheaper than the real Bitter Blossom.
This is actually the one to pick up.
this is basically buying singles.
So now we're referring to the whole, basically Wizards of the Coast are experiencing what the hell is this secondary market they've been hearing about.
Oh, no. This is a product. It's not for everyone. It's for people who really want these specific cards that are actually playable. But, you know, they know it, they're playable, and that they're really sought after because of tournament results, not because...
I mean, secondary market is also not for everybody, just for people who can give money for singles.
What is a secondary market even? But, yeah, this is them getting in on the secondary market, and the secondary market will have to adjust to this, I think. It
Maybe.
Might.
Who knows?
Because we have to see the sales of this product so that we can know. But yeah, like Bitter Blossom, if it sells really well, then Bitter Blossom is gonna like, it's gonna dip. All versions of it are gonna dip, except the fancy version.
It's not even being played anywhere. That's the worst part.
It's just like Phyrexian Obliterator. It's still expensive and it's not played. It's
mm-hmm.
unplayable. Not unplayable, but you know.
Bitter Blossom is at least played in like one tier 2 deck.
Fairies.
No, actually.
Sometimes.
Black-white tokens.
I'd say fairies is a tier 2. Not a tier, not on the same level as Merfolk tier 2, but still tier 2.
But Obliterator is never being played.
Womp womp. 5 mana, 5/5 that you literally can't touch because you'll die if you do.
And yet it's never being played.
Mm-hmm. Womp. Fuels Devotion, though.
Who gives a crap?
So, yeah, we got some... These are all nice and dandy. And this is just the beginning of their exploration of the whole Secret Lair thing. So we might we can expect even more sought-after singles. Maybe even... Who knows? Maybe one day they'll put in 5 fetch lands in one of these.
Hoo-hoo!
Now, wouldn't that be spicy?
But they don't like fetchlands.
I think that would actually be a really good move.
But they like money, so...
So if they just put in 5 of the new fetchlands... And by new, I mean, you know... They are... Enemy-colored fetchlands. That's gonna be... You know, people will buy it. People will really buy that. Especially since it's not limited, so you can just buy 4 copies of it, and you have your 20 fetch lands for a very set price, and suddenly the price tanks because now everybody has a fetch land.
That would be a product that would actually be sold real hard.
I'm thinking it will be done. If they don't want to put fetch lands in any other product, they should put it here. Because they're already offering a playset of Serum Visions.
Mm-hmm. And that's being played in like one format.
Yeah, two-ish?
Is it?
I mean, in Commander, if you need cantrips, it's a good cantrip.
It's a cantrip, but it's like number 4 or 5.
You always need more cantrips. I mean, Kicker has to make those spirits, doesn't he?
Ah, Kicker. Isn't that the thing we're supposed to be talking now?
Oh, yeah. We completely missed out on the Commander of the Week part.
Well, I was actually going to combine that with the topic at hand. So, we have a competitive EDH league going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just had our first pods. So, that could be the Commanders of the Week.
So, what was your Commander of the Week?
You sure you don't want to talk first? Because do you have like a minute to talk about?
Oh, okay. So, my Commander of the Week was Kicker. And I lost. We played 3 rounds. Everybody but me won a round. Because Kicker isn't that good when all 4 decks are combo decks.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kicker isn't fast enough. He's not consistent enough. And he doesn't draw nearly as much cards as the rest of the decks. So the other decks were... There was... Thymna and Thrasios.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, I'm surprised.
Thymna, Thrasios. There was the... Kulen.
Mm-hmm.
The food chain Kulen.
Yep.
What was the third one? The third one was another very linear combo. Oh, yeah, it was Mate with Shimmerzer.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my opponents played black, and black is like the best color in Commander because tutors.
It's pretty good.
And sometimes you just don't have a solution for a turn three food chain. So, you know.
Just play rule law. That's what I do.
After that game, it was pretty obvious to me that Kicker, he's super meta dependent.
Mm-hmm.
If I expect more taxing decks, then I can play Kicker because he's not that hard countered by those kinds of cards. He can grind people. While in a pod where there are 3 other combo decks that the only interaction they play are cards that prevent other people from preventing them going off. And I have to be the one actually preventing all 3 of them. It's kind of a problem then. Because I successfully stopped people in their combos, but I can't stop them all.
Yeah. I think that the way to go if you're not fast enough to actually combo out yourself is to go stacks and slash controlling.
I was thinking of just dropping a couple of combos, keep like 2 of them in the deck, and replace the rest with even more permission? Interaction and some more taxing effects on other people.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you're not going to be fast enough, I think that's actually the way to go.
Yeah, I think that Kicker generally isn't really fast enough by itself.
Yeah, if you can't outrace them, don't try to fight them on their own turfs. On their own terms.
Either that or I just don't mulligan more aggressively enough.
You usually tend to not mulligan that aggressively when we play.
Well, it's because I see a hand that has three lands and playable spells, and like, I'll keep this. Yeah, that's my first mistake,
I guess.
I'm usually
a bit more aggressive.
I see a playable hand, I keep, but that's the modern player in me talking.
So, what's your next pod? Do you have an idea what people will be playing?
Well, I'm against Mate again, so at the very least, I'll try to make his day as miserable as I can.
So, taxing decks, here we go?
I guess Joyra, here we go.
Hey!
Take them for a joyride.
Womp, womp, womp.
But yeah, it'll be Tax City.
That's good.
I heard that... all three of our games were done within an hour?
Not each game. All three games combined.
So, you had quite a different experience in your pod. So,
yep.
Tell.
My pod... first of all, I went 0-3 in those games. Womp womp. Because we were playing a set of three games. It was Gitrog. It was Thymna, and what is the name of the snake lady that has a partner?
I'm gonna go with snake lady with partner.
It's Ikra something.
Ikra Shidik.
There you go. And Tess with Food Chain Prosh. Game one, I text perfect amount to stop people from doing their things and slowing them down, but they're just gonna draw into anything to combo out with. Sucks to be me. Second game, I slowed them perfectly. I drew all the things I needed, just couldn't draw a way to kill my own stupid Chris Totem, because I had Kiki Jiki and combos out. And I couldn't actually draw a way to remove it, and I died to a stupid dragon.
Wow.
That's one game, games one and two, and then game three, after actually super suspense, going back and forth, the Gitrog monster managed to win.
Mm-hmm.
Through comboing out. But every game we played lasted like 45 minutes, maybe even longer.
So how many taxing decks were there?
Me.
Oh.
You had basically the Thymna and Snake Lady trying to do his thing, but every game I either Chris Totemed or Stony Silenced. And game one, he had only artifacts. He would like win turn two or three if I didn't have Stony Silence, but I did. He had like one land, six artifacts out, and couldn't do anything. It was super sad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't even overstack. It was just that I had the perfect suite to stack people with.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, Tess's deck is super stacks proof because she's used to playing against me. So when I had Magus of the Moon out, her lands, literally one of them was turned into basic mountain. Everything else was actually basic land.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't care. So she crushed us those two games. Next week I'm playing against her again and two more other people. I don't know what they'll be playing, but I shifted my deck a little bit more. And we'll see.
Now that you mentioned Magus of the Moon,
mm-hmm.
I learned I'm gonna call it an interaction.
Yeah.
So what happens when you have Magus of the Moon out and then Magus becomes an elk?
Logically, nothing is supposed to happen.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, Magus of the Moon is an elk that doesn't have an ability. So that whole non-basic lands are mountains part is erased. It doesn't exist. But there's this thing called layers. And sometimes they're really stupid. This is one of those times. So, for reasons I don't want to go into, because I'm not 100% sure how to explain it, but since they're layered differently, the end result is the following. When Magus of the Moon turns into an elk, all the lands currently in play that are affected by Magus of the Moon stay affected. They're still basic mountains. Even though there isn't a card on the field saying that non-basic lands are mountains, they still remain mountains. And cards, lands, non-basic lands that come after he's turned into an elk are non-basic lands. They don't turn into mountains. And if the elk leaves play, all lands return to normal. The same goes with Mycosynth Lattice. And any stat, and any type defining abilities.
That's weird as fuck.
It is. This is like that time when... remember that time when there was that vampire guy that made... That was really good in Standard?
And, Kalitas?
Yeah, Kalitas. Kalitas and the Procession?
Mm-hmm.
Where Kalitas would sometimes make double the tokens. But sometimes he didn't. Even though it's an effect that creates tokens, it's not really an effect. And when... it's actually still an effect, but... Spectral Procession doesn't really mean effect. It means something else. It's just written effect. Just like apparently, elks do have abilities, even though they don't actually have any abilities.
I mean, they don't, but they sometimes do.
They sometimes do, yeah. And messing with this part of the rules, they did twist the rules for this procession, that it always gives double the tokens. But if they want to mess with this, they can make like large amounts of actual damage to other cards in really unpredictable ways. So they're probably not gonna do it for this, because honestly, how often is Oko gonna turn a Magus of the Moon into an elk in Modern?
I mean, the way they're going with banning Oko in all places, it might not ever happen.
And, well, making Lattice an elk, that's another story. That can actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
But even after you do that, well, you can't actually do that. You mean, the player using the Lattice has to turn it into an elk, and I don't think you want to turn it into an elk, because you already won.
Unless you go to do it, but they use misdirection or something like that. Can that happen?
Not in Modern.
Wow. What about Legacy and Vintage?
Who cares?
Are you secretly working for Wizards of the Coast?
Sadly, no.
Because you basically summed up their opinion about Legacy and Vintage.
I mean, the formats are still kind of supported.
Yeah, but that's because people will get super pissy if they didn't get supported. This is just, you know. Plus, if it weren't for things like Vintage Super League, I think Vintage would get dropped like a time ago. Because it kind of already is dropped as a format for... Wizards, they just give announcements once in a while.
But they do still... Well, they technically still care about it.
But yeah, that's not what we're talking about. What I wanted to say, I am experimenting something. I took out Willis from Alesha.
Mm-hmm.
And put in Militia Bugler to see how that goes.
Turns out...
I've been playing only against Tess for the last couple of days, one-on-one. Bugler most of the time hits a thing. I just hit it with like once or twice out of like 10-15 matches.
And so, he's kind of easier to play than Willis?
Yes, that is a... Willis I would usually play either if the everything got so slow that I could actually hardcast it, or if I reanimated him. But I would like to reanimate other things much more preferably than Willis. Unless I'm casting legitimate reanimate on Willis.
Yeah, that's super value.
But even then, most of the time, I think it's Bugler might be better, because it's he really wants to be Imperial or Recruiter of the Guard, but it's not gonna be. But you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Bugler is still a it's still a cool card. I have a place it for my Death and Taxes if I ever try to play it again.
Yeah, I need to get the promo version.
Yeah, the promo versions are nice.
And they're super cheap, but you know, mm-hmm. nobody has it around.
Nope.
Nobody that I've seen, but I haven't actually been to any Magical proper events for a while. Luckily, I'm going to tomorrow.
A mighty proper Magic event.
And there, it's bound to be there, and it's bound to be super cheap.
So, is there any particular part of the event you're looking forward to?
Just gonna go there, play some commander with people, and see how things go outside, and just visit Bologna a bit and do some sightseeing. Because I'm combining it as a Magic event, and as, you know, just going out of the city I'm living in and just...
getting out of your house.
Well, I'm currently on vacation, I'm leaving my house the smallest amount as possible.
Unlike me. My vacation is staying at home all the time.
That's what I'm trying to do. I did go out, like, the other day, we went to play D&D, Pathfinder, the second edition. We tested it, by the way. That is a really good role-playing system, second edition.
Yeah. I glanced on one game. I wasn't there for long. But I noticed that players have three actions for their turn.
Yes.
And they can use them in any way they want. They can do three moves, three attacks, three other actions.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to attack three times, you're going to have massive penalties, but still.
Depending on weapon you're using, standardly is first attack normal, second attack is -5, third attack is -10. But you have some weapons that are agile, which means you get -4 and -8. And then you have some feats that enable you to make that -2 and -4.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, actually Pathfinder 2 sounds really fun.
So basically, the way I figured it out, Pathfinder 1st edition, it was made to respond to basically emulate and improve 3.5, right?
Yeah.
Second edition is basically made to emulate but super improve 5th edition. Because you can't actually ignore 5th edition as a thing. It did make some good things, it streamlined some things. But you can improve on it a lot, because 5th edition is super simplified.
Yeah, we are past the point where they're making these games for hardcore people.
Yes.
Like we used to be. They're making them so that everyone can just, you know, simply join in and simply have a good time.
Things like Critical Role and other shows like that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's suddenly actually cool to be playing D&D and role-playing games.
Board games in general are on the rise
mm-hmm.
in the last couple of years.
I reckon it's because actually we're doing all these things online, our contact, and we crave some actual human interaction.
That too, that, and, you know, if you're having a board game, that if you buy a board game with pretty figures, you get pretty figurines.
I've been doing actually some of the painting for our miniatures for the Pathfinder game.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, most of my colors went to shit, so I have to buy more paints to actually make better figurines, but you know, I have bunch of Warhammer figurines, bunch of zombie figurines, and we're using that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun. Plus, the setting we're playing is not your typical D&D setting. It's 1847 in London, and we are basically a terrorist cell who has a mission of killing Queen Victoria.
Oh. Okay.
And it's super fun. So, you know, I think we're done with the cast. Because we're talking about role-playing games and stuff.
definitely, if people didn't already do it, you can go ahead and just mention that this is a non-sponsored commercial. Go ahead and wishlist Fageborn on Steam, because if anyone, I will benefit from that at some point.
I mean, this is a non-advertised advertisement, but if the Fageborn people in I forgot how your company is called.
It's Games Revolted.
If they wish to actually sponsor this podcast, I would say yes, give me money, please.
Well, if the game does succeed, then we might do a secondary podcast.
I see no reason why it shouldn't actually succeed. Because, generally, good game.
Yeah. It's all about the marketing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Trump on your side. And he has a pretty good viewership.
Yeah. Well, that's just the start of our marketing.
Yeah, of course,
but... say that.
He is a pretty big figure.
Mm-hmm. So... yeah, that's basically it for episode
106.
106. This has been Niksha and my lovely co-host Igor.
My god.
And you can find all our contacts, well, most of our contacts in the show notes. And as always,
the Emperor protects.
Indeed.
My brothers has been swallowed by the crowns. Unbelievable insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide sweats and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the creeping dread that slid us up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so we'll stand and face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You'll know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a star or step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Like a funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Yenmans I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance. Gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of them becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. Those brothers meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turncoat. Chain of command failures. Minute and lower swords as it ducks through your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces place a this, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Avedon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hand, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still. Buried my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have said I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.